Hi, Mari. Nice to see you again. It's been a little while since we last met.
Yeah.
And the last time we got together, we did some counselling, didn't we,
We
around
did.
your sight loss?
Yeah.
And we thought today we might just unpack about how that was helpful, not helpful, what impact it had, what changes you made on the back of that.
Yeah.
Do you want to say a little bit more about how it
Yeah.
was for you?
So we did a 10-minute session, which is on the last podcast we did, podcast number 7. And it was surprisingly powerful. So I think it has stayed with me and been really beneficial to me in some way. Because I think I forget, in some ways I try to be so fit in and blend in so that my disability doesn't prevent me. So people look at me without thinking about my disability, but I realised actually that my own sight loss, I kind of minimise it. And what that 10-minute session did was to remind me that actually I do have sight loss and I am different. I do have different needs, and that it's okay to be different and it's okay to have these needs. I've been reflecting on it for such since the last time since we made it. And one of the things I realised that, I mean, what we were talking about, for those of you who haven't listened to the other podcast, is the subject that I brought was that my workspace is going to be moved to a different part of the building. And for me, I've been very, very anxious about this. And in 10 minutes talking through this with you, Amanda, what came to the surface for me was that understanding that my sight loss makes things much more difficult, and that but that's okay to have these needs. It's not that I'm
So did you think it wasn't okay before? Do you think?
yeah, I think there's I think I, like I said, I'm so keen to be it's like, see me, don't see my sight loss, don't see my white stick, don't see my guide dog, see me. But in doing that, it's almost like I've been convincing people that I'm absolutely the same as them. And that's been my life script for maybe 10, 15, 20 years now, of being accepted, not being defined by my blindness. However, I think in doing that, I've actually been quite hard on myself, like I need to be this, you know, that I am the same as other people, when actually I do have needs. I
And it's
do have,
okay. So it's almost something
yeah.
like within that little, for going through this process, you've accepted a little bit more
Yeah.
of where you are with your sight loss. And
Yeah.
then part of your coping mechanism before was this around this fear of being lost in it and not being seen as
Yes.
you. You actually cutting things out of your life that actually you needed, the some of the support you needed.
Yes,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Minimizing the support needed. But you're right about being seen as me, you know.
But do you think, what I find is really fascinating is, this is your livelihood as well.
Yeah.
This is what you do for a living. You are a therapist and you work with sight loss,
Yeah.
and yet here you are sitting and saying really strongly, actually, I needed
Yeah.
to talk about it, even though
Yeah.
that this is my world and this is what I
Yeah.
do,
Yeah.
I still needed to get to that place to reflect on what I needed and what I wanted.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
I think that's so interesting, because theoretically, so I have a kind of theoretical model of how people cope with sight loss, but my understanding has been deepened, because it feels like in this model we have this part of the process which is called the point of impact, the point where your sight loss impacts on you. But what I've realised in just that short 10 minutes that we had talking about things is that that point of impact can come again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
And
So
it's,
there's multiple impacts.
yes,
Yeah.
and it's meeting them every time, and I'm picking them that actually is helpful. And I think I've like having that conversation with you, and you understanding about sight loss, you understanding that was immensely helpful. And
Yeah.
it made me actually get almost a little bit angry as well about how the needs of blind and partially sighted people we're a marginal voice. So the people who've decided to make the move, like switch all the our management, who have a great rationale for doing it, it's not about them, but they don't understand the impact for people, for me, like how catastrophic it is. And then I was thinking, but because for them, they can just walk along a corridor or open a door, but for me, like, to walk along the corridor, I harness up my guide dog. To get through a door, I have to think about, right, what might, if I'm carrying my books or folders or whatever, how do I get through that door, you know? And every door and every flight of steps and everything is difficult. Mm-hmm. And it got me thinking about this notion of death by a thousand cuts. So all these little things that add up to something big that I'm quite emotional because I think it's really I think the thing about silence is it takes its toll even on the strongest most mentally well people
and I guess that's what I was getting at earlier, is the fact that this is your livelihood. You do go to, you do look after your emotional well-being.
Yeah,
you are, you know, good to yourself, but this put you into a place where it did impact on you, and it's not an out of everyday occurrence. Yeah. It's something that's in within life.
Yes.
And I think what you've reminded me is just those everyday things can become really difficult when there's changes.
Yes.
And how much you rely on memory and learning routes and to do without your eyes. So I think this sort of stuff applies to both people who with sight loss, and you're getting to a stage with your own sight loss now that it is deteriorating, you know, quite rapidly. But people who have never had sight, they have to go through this every day as well.
Every day.
And if there is a change, that's quite impactful for them.
Yeah, and I think that it is that the relentlessness of it, of particularly if you have friends who are sighted, and for somebody who is has no sight, there is a different, like, life is just more difficult in terms of getting around, and there's things that people, it's like an invisibly difficult to the majority of people who are in the world, because they don't, there's not a voice to it.
And do you think that sometimes the kind of sighted population think that because you may not have had sight loss for a long, you've not had sight, say, for the majority of your life, that you're used to things, you know, but actually it's always quite tenuous on whether or not you know the route, or you know where things are. And if people, I know my staff, if people, when they go into their counselling rooms, my staff without sight, and someone's moved the computer screen, not that they use the screen for typing, but if they're doing video conferences, someone's moved the camera, or they've moved the telephone, you know, they can't, things aren't where they should be, and it's that attention to detail that becomes exhausting.
I think it
is frustrating. Yeah,
and I think if you have other life events on top of that, right, so that is just like it runs in the background all the time. And if you put normal other life events, critical incidents, then that makes it much harder. It's almost like all your coping mechanisms are used in functioning, and then you have an emotional bomb into your life, and it can really derail you, I think, mentally.
So I heard that in our counselling session, what you did was identify what you needed for you.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm still curious about were your levels of anxiety and how they are now, because has the move happened now?
No, move's not happened yet.
Now. Okay, so what's happening with your anxiety?
So I think anxiety is very much linked to sight loss. I think, well, certainly in my experience and in the experience of working with people with who have no sight, that that thing, like I was saying about walking a corridor, so for me there's a little bit of anxiety of like, how busy will that corridor be? Even on a route you know.
So even when it's business as usual, there's always anxiety there.
And thinking about doing anything, I think, brings its anxiety, like, how am I going to manage that? And I think I go to a place of self-limitation, of that I'm not going to manage it. There is a real worry. I think there's an anxiety about how am I going to do this?
Yeah. So I think that's really interesting, and I think we should, I wonder if we maybe do another podcast focusing just on anxiety.
I think that's
I'm really happy that that it helped, that you were able to move through, but it doesn't feel like it's over.
No.
At some level.
Yes. But it was tremendously helpful, and it reinforces the fact that actually, if you're talking with somebody who understands sight loss, somebody who's a counsellor who understands sight loss, you can unpack all these things that are rumbling on in the background for you. So it's so helpful to talk
it through.
Talk it through.
Okay, thanks, Mari. That's great.
Thank you.